Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast, where we delve into the business side of online wellness, sharing stories, strategies, and inspiration from people like you who are building meaningful income streams on the internet. If you're in the business of helping people to live healthier, happier lives, this podcast is for you. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get notified each time we release a new episode. Welcome to the Wellness Creator Podcast. In today's episode, we are discussing copywriting and the importance of the words that you write in your marketing as a way to convey the value that you sell and share with your audience. And I am joined today with my co-founder of Marvelous, Sandy Connery. And Sandy is an expert copywriter, and she's been our CMO of our company for years now. And I'm just so excited, Sandy, for you to come and share your wisdom about the importance of copywriting for our audience.
Thank you, Jenny. It has been a long time since we've done a podcast together, so it feels great to be back behind the mic sharing this space with you. And it just happens to be one of my favorite topics. So win, win, and win.
Okay. All so right. There is a way that you've learned to kind of talk about copywriting that I think really resonates with our audience in particular. We have coached clients on our Marvelous platform for, 8 years now. And so we've seen a lot of product copy, sales page copy, email copy, social post copy that's been written by, you know, at this point, thousands of people for years. And there's a few kind of things that you've distilled and we've distilled together, but you have a great way of talking about those things. So what are some of those things that you've noticed about wellness creators in particular?
Mm-hmm. So I think I just want to start by saying that one of the most, I just was on two calls yesterday with potential clients, and they both expressed an inability or struggle to sell. Like that, they use that exact word. Like, I just don't know how to sell. And so my response always back is like, you've got to learn how to write copy. You have to copywrite, because in this digital world, you need people to take action. So either open the email and read it, or watch the video, or you know, click the buy button and buy into your membership or whatever it is. Every single one of those actions, every single action of a potential client interacting with your business is going to be based on the words that you use. So copy is everywhere in your business, and you have to just embrace writing copy because it's a bit of a different skill set. But to your point around the wellness creators, I think what they do is that wellness creators tend to use a lot of, as we say in general, like woo words, like just the woo words, right? They use the jargony words, they use the cliche words, they use, and they may not even realize like how jargony or how niche down they are. And I think there's two reasons. One is that if they use the jargony niche words, that will like impress, oh, clearly she knows what she's doing. And it really like it backfires because people don't usually know those jargony or industry words. So I think that's a problem. And then you just lose your reader. And if you lose the reader, it's so hard to get them back. So I can do you want to give some examples of this?
Yeah, like self-care.
Empower.
Healing.
What was the thing I wrote? Yeah, so these like ambiguous terms, like I saw something in the mall. I was telling you about, I walked down the mall and they were like, something, come get your soul nourished. And I was like, oh my freaking God, nobody's walking down the mall. First of all, I don't know what that means. Like what, I actually don't know what they sell or what their service is. And nobody is walking down the mall going, damn, I really want my soul nourished, you know? And so it's like using these words that seem beautiful and calming and like speak to the work or the, maybe the process that you work with somebody. But the disconnect is that the clients that you want to attract are not thinking those sentences in their head. Like, I'm not someone, please empower my inner radiance. You know, like that's just not happening out there.
So good. So here's my filter. And I don't think I've ever said this to you because you're kind of the copywriter amongst us. But the way that I think about it when I'm actually reading these words is if I see something that belongs on a tank top or a bumper sticker, it probably doesn't belong in your sales copy. Like it's just those things are kind of mutually exclusive. So if you're reading something and you're like, oh, this would be a great bumper sticker, it's probably something you should take out of your copy for your business. Like unless you are in the business of selling tank tops or stickers.
Bumper stickers. Yeah. I think like the lesson that I want everyone to take from this episode is that your job as the CEO, as the marketer of your own company, you have to get in the heads, in the minds, in the thoughts of those potential clients. What are they actually, what is their problem, number one? But like, you know, you could describe like they want to be stronger. Okay. But what are they saying to themselves? Like, what are the actual words that they're muttering to themselves silently every night when they go to bed? Like, I meant to work out and I didn't. I'm so lazy, or, you know, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like the problems in people's heads and the way that they talk to themselves about it. I was talking to someone who's working on some binge eating yesterday, and she's got binge eating and emotional eating. Okay. But really what that client is saying to herself is like, I just wish I wouldn't eat the whole box of cookies. Something super specific like that. And if you can pull that into your copy, like I was even saying to her, like that could be your subject line or sorry, your tagline, like whatever her name of her company is, like stop eating the whole box of cookies. Yeah. Stop after one cookie or something. Because that's how people think. That is real life, right? They're not like, oh, I need more self-care and like nurturing and healing and empowerment. I want to come home to myself. Like lovely, beautiful language does not sell a damn thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think it's hard to connect. I think we can connect on these like very ambiguous feelings or ideas, like to a degree, but it's never a deep connection. No. And the other thing I was thinking about that might help for some people, I don't know. I love reading poetry. And as a younger person, I loved writing poetry. I would hope to revisit that one day. But when I'm reading poetry, like if you just read a poem of like vague, you know, platitudes, it doesn't connect to you. Like it's like the fluff on the top of, you know, like a lot. It's like there's no nourishment there. When poetry connects with people, it's because it's hyper-specific, because you're reading about like a specific goose that was being observed, or a specific, you know, I was just reading this beautiful poem about initials being carved into a tree. It's like you want people to evoke a picture in their mind, which is something that you say a lot about copywriting too. So I think this like lends itself to powerful communication in general. So if like copywriting itself as a concept doesn't connect to you, just like try to think about the other things that you read or that you listen to. And like these vague, ambiguous words, they kind of sound kind of nice, but they don't really mean anything to anyone. And you want to get to the point where someone remembers what you're writing or what you're saying, and that it's something that's actually going to connect deeply inside of them.
I think it was on social, I saw a picture of like a park bench. You know how somebody, after somebody passes and they'll dedicate this park bench to them, whatever. It said, Allison, as long as she was fed, was a wonderful person. And I was dead. Like that is funny, right? Like that's specific. That is like what people would actually say about her when she was alive. Is like, that's another example to your poetry. I think you're right. It cannot be ambiguous. But I also think I mentioned that there was two mistakes that people make. The second one with this is that they think that by pulling back and being ambiguous and broad and general, they'll attract more people, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can really, you know, help you with self-care, but I don't, I never say to myself, I need more self-care ever. I'm like, I need a bath. I need a run. I need to go have a massage. I need to like spend 15 minutes by myself in silence. Like those are the things I'm saying to myself.
You know, even something that seems like it might be specific, like you're going to move your body more or movement or move more. That's also really ambiguous. Like it's a little better because, okay, I know what it means to physically move my body around, but like in what context and for how long? And I think I was listening to somebody talking about the power in the Apple Watch, the rings that close on the Apple Watch, and saying like, how different is it to say you need to move your body more versus you're going to close your rings every day? Right. Like all of a sudden, that is something that's very specific,
tangible,
look at and know and understand. And anyone who's ever seen an Apple Watch knows what that means. And all of a sudden, like that's ding, 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 that means something to me. Mm-hmm. Like it's gamification, but it's also, it's like beyond gamification. It's the fact that it's like a very specific task that is universally understood.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think like that specificity and what you were referencing before is like, always trying to get our clients in their writing to paint pictures in front of people's eyes so that, you know, when that bench example of Allison being hungry, like you can imagine someone being like hangry, right? And you can totally have lived it, or you know people who are really sensitive to glucose spikes and dips, and it's like an image you can see. But if you read your copy and it's like, there's no picture, there's no like video playing as I read those words, it's boring. It's so boring and disconnected. And even I think subject lines, for example, there's so many bad subject lines. And if you are not selling and you're sending a lot of emails, like take a look at your subject line. That is the reason someone's going to click and open and read the email is those whatever 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words in that subject line. It has to be interesting and curiosity provoking. What are you saying that is unique and different and a bit of a, you know, big claim or whatever? Like there's so many ways to write subject lines. And I just really want people to understand that their words matter and being generic and boring and fluffy does not sell.
Yeah. And one more reason to think about for why that doesn't sell, the vague, ambiguous words, is because you all of a sudden are writing something that's interchangeable with any other person who does what you do. So you're not memorable in that case, right? So if you're sending out an email that 100 other people who do what you do could have sent out, like there's literally nothing distinct about it, you just become a commodity to your audience, right? So if you're doing like work on macros, like you're going to be interchangeable with 100 other people that do work on macros that they follow on Instagram and that they get on their list. Like you have to start to think about yourself as like this unique business in the world that does something that no one else does. You have a way of doing it that no one else does, or something about you that's unique. And that's how you become decommodified. And that's how you can become something that people are willing to really invest their time and money in, into your business.
You have to be interesting. Like that's the word. We just did a workshop on copywriting and it was like, I just kept coming back. There's no other way to say it. Mm-hmm. You are a commodity if you are boring and you are in like literally the background noise in an inbox, right? You have to find a way to be interesting. And every single person, like 1000%, can write about themselves and their business in an interesting way. But if you don't recognize that and you don't try, you know, and you just do what everyone else is doing, it is commodity. It is like you're just totally being ignored. And I think that's the number one thing that we hear from our clients is like there's so much focus on what they do and what they teach and their program, and they like make it better and they are excellent, excellent at what they do. And but nobody knows because they don't have the words, the copy, the skill, the descriptions, the interest to speak publicly about their work.
Mm-hmm. And part of that is because it's risky, like especially for us as women, we don't need to get dive down into the theory around this part of feminism right now. But like for most of our audience and most of our industry, it's women, it's comprised of women. And this is obviously something that's like drilled into us as to you are rewarded for sort of blending into the background of the room, and you are not rewarded by speaking up and being distinct and being different. And I hope that this is changing generationally, but you know, this is something just to keep in mind that there's a feeling of safety that comes from not saying anything provocative, from not standing out, from not trying to be unique. And that just frankly doesn't work in business. Like you can go get a mid-level job somewhere doing that, like, and be fine. That's great. That maybe is what works in that context. But as an entrepreneur, for your own survival as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to stand out and be distinct. And so I think that there's a learning that people have to go through. There's a transformation that happens when you decide to make something unique and new in the world and offer it up and, you know, entice people to sign up for it. Like you have to sort of become a different person, a different version of yourself.
Yeah. There's like two opposing forces for women in business. It's like, look at me and buy my thing. I've got this amazing thing. But then they just want to crawl into the background and just like hope like hell that someone will discover them, because that is much safer. Yeah. So I just don't think women have learned how to be unique and interesting and be okay with that attention and not obviously retreat and quit when they get a negative comment. Like I think it is really opposing to what our natural tendencies are. Yeah. But I still think you can be interesting, right? You don't have to say controversial things, but you just have to speak the language of your potential client in an interesting way that grabs their attention so that they choose you to work with. If you are just saying boring things on social and doing the same thing that everyone else is doing and following all the trends, it's boring. And then you just feel like you waste your time and you're just so frustrated. I get it.
Yeah, I would push back on that a little, Sandy. I think people do need to be at least provocative. I don't think they don't have to go as far as controversial, but I do think you've got to kind of, you know, we all have opinions that are outside of what is the standard accepted opinion in our industry. Like that is like what leads us to have our own businesses, right? Is because if we were perfectly happy with everything else that already existed, we just wanted to work within those existing systems and businesses and institutions, that's what we would be doing. So there's something inside each of us, every single one of you listening, that is like, this could be better. I know this could be better, and I know I could do this better. And so finding that space and being willing to point out why you exist in the world as a business, part of that means being a little provocative and maybe ruffling some feathers. And that's part of what will get you the good kind of attention that you need.
I also think part of that is, and we have a framework that we teach called the 4 P's. And one of that is process. Like, what is the process? Like, I just want to stop eating the cookies. Great. But how are you going to get me to do that? And that process is where you can be super unique and different. And that's probably where some of the controversial or non-standard way that you can do things. And I think each of us, well, our audience is mainly teachers or coaches. And in the beginning, you're just like, you teach whatever you were, however you were trained. But then as you get experience and as you work with your clients and as you niche down, then you get to create your own unique process. And that's really where you can showcase how you are different than everyone else. You're not going to be for everybody, right? Like you're going to push some people away and that's what you want. But I think the process, because I know that a lot of people struggle with, well, I know our clients, that's like the hardest part is like, what is my unique process? Like, how do I teach this differently than everybody else?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I think asking your students and your clients why they work with you is a great way to start to figure that out, to sort of go and ask the people around you, what is unique about me? What do you notice about me? What do you like about me? It's a hard thing to do. It's really, really emotionally scary to go ask people to tell you what they think of you. But for those of you who are really stuck, I would encourage you, usually thinking more is not going to get you unstuck. Like it's just going to lead to more of the same of what you have, right? You've got to start to go outside of yourself and start to take some risks to maybe get some of those answers.
Yep. Have the conversations.
Yeah. 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 So Sandy, I guess what I imagine folks are wondering right now is like, let's just say they're in this place where we're describing a lot of clients are, which is that they feel like they've gotten to a certain stage in their business and now they're maybe a little bit stuck and they know they could improve their communication and their copywriting and their marketing. Where would you recommend that they start? Like, what are some kind of low-hanging fruit that they can begin to do or...
I would sit, whenever I'm stuck, I go through my own inbox and I take a look at what my eye is drawn to or the copywriting. Like there's probably in each of your inboxes, people's emails that you always read for whatever reason. So I would start saving those. Like I've got a little folder like called Good Copywriting and I just like dump everything in there. So start paying attention to what copy attracts you, whether that's subject lines or whether that's sales pages that you just read every single word, capture that and hold on to it and create like a copy bank basically so that you can go back and be like, why did I like this? Oh, and now you can start to see, okay, it was just like a ridiculous claim or it was, you know, like such a good subject line or it was so clever how she did the subtitle on the sales page or whatever. Start looking. Copy is everywhere. It's literally everywhere around you. So collect the good stuff that you love and start to figure out why do you love it and how can you get work that into your own. And then I think the second thing is to listen harder to your clients. What are the words they use? What are they complaining about? What are the stories they tell you? Jot that down in an Evernote or Google Doc of the phrases, the you know, whatever their desires are, the problems and the way that they describe that, every one of those could be a topic for an email. And then third is there's a trillion copywriting courses out there. I've taken pretty much all of them, I think. So if you want to go all in, like you can certainly do that. And I'll give you a fourth option, which is we have a membership that where we help clients build their business. Often people are kind of plateaued and stuck. They want more help with selling. They want help with product design. They want help with marketing. They need accountability. They want to do this in community. They want to ask questions to somebody who can help them. And we do copy calls every second week in our community. So that's also available to you as a membership option.
Those are great tips. I'll just add one resource because I love tools and love to explore the internet and find things that are creative and interesting. And I've shared this with some of our coaching clients. And there's a tool that I use to capture great copy and ideas.
Oh, right.
It's called My Mind. It's like a private Pinterest, but it's not based on images. It's based on like capturing whatever is on that website. So whether it's a quote or an image or an article or a poem or whatever, a sales page, it captures it all and sort of is super searchable and interesting. It's very, very powerful and it's quite inexpensive. I don't know. I think it's...
What's it called again, Jenny?
It's called My Mind.
MyMind.com?
Let's see.
Yeah, I forgot about that. You told me about that a long time. I'm going to do that because that's the best thing for copy. Just like...
It's so good.
You just snag it, it sends it, and then you can go back to the app and you can search. Like there was something about a cookie and you can search cookie and it'll find it for you.
You can just search like, the name, especially if you have imagery that like you remember things in pictures, which some of us do, visual learners. So if I am reading a New Yorker article and I remember the cartoon, there's a cat in the cartoon right on the page, I can search the word cat. And it will find that article. So just mind blown there. It's really, really, or just like any word you can think of. It's so cool. And I don't even use it to its full extent, but it is probably the tool that I've signed up for in the last year. My favorite AI tool for sure, because it uses AI to search the stuff. And I use that more than anything else. And so I think it's great for copywriting and for any kind of writing or marketing, because you can like easily capture all the things that catch your attention now. Just start as you're going through your day, your week, your month, start to just gather the things that you're noticing. Because you don't need to expect yourself to like be in an austere white room with your laptop and all of a sudden have a strike of genius, you know, and then make up. Every one of us is doing this like still like an artist thing, right? Where we're grabbing bits and pieces from things that inspire us. And that's how we write great copy. And that's how we do great copy.
And pay attention to when you're searching not in your niche, like whatever, your hobbies or your kids, whatever, outside of the wellness niche, what copy, what phrase do you love? Like I got Athletic Greens sent to me and I opened the box up and it said something like, take a deep breath, this is real or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that is a fantastic line. And I was like writing emails. Oh no, I wrote a sales page and somewhere on our sales page is like, take a deep breath, this is real, something like that. And I just stole it from the Athletic Greens, like totally different context. I don't know if the words are exactly the same, the sentiment's the same, but like steal like an artist, you know, like exactly like that. So
that's all anybody does.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look at other niche, the copy in other arenas and see. Another great place, Jenny, is YouTube. Like the titles of YouTube videos are fantastic. Like when it's done well, it's like, I have to watch this, right? Like that's another great place for like titles and subject lines.
Yeah. And just once you start noticing how people leave you in suspense with those kinds of things, you start to be able to do it yourself, right? You're like, I don't know how to make this suspenseful. And then all of a sudden you look at 35 YouTube titles where someone is, you know, leaving you suspenseful, wanting to go watch the video. And you're like, oh, I could write like that.
Yeah.
So, and you'll just get better and better. Like I've watched your journey, Sandy, as a copywriter, and like it's incredible how evolved you are after, I don't know, the last 3 or 4 years, just seeing you really take time and attention to invest because of your own interest in this. Like it's really, really amazing. So even if you don't think of yourself as a writer, which I know some of us didn't on this podcast, you can become that, right? Like you become the writer by writing.
Yeah.
So that's just how it works.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Sandy. This, I know, is going to be super helpful for our listeners and our audience. And as Sandy mentioned, we do have a coaching membership available to anyone in the industry, anyone who's a creator online. It's called The Luminaries, and you can learn more about that work at anshe.co. And of course, this podcast is sponsored by Marvelous, and you can always find us there at heymarvelous.com. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Jenny. Bye.
This podcast is brought to you by Marvelous. Marvelous helps you build and sell your own courses, coaching programs, memberships, and digital products. Go from idea to open for business in just minutes. If you're looking for a simple, beautiful, custom branded platform to build and grow your online business, you can learn more at heymarvelous.com.